It's all right. You may all come out and thank her.
But in the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to
three things.
Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. In awe of
three things.
You waited too long to make your move, and now you're in the friend zone.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
Listen to me, yo. Hey, you.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Oh, yeah.
Come here, cutie. Hey, come here.
You, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Why don't we all turn on together?
During my service in the United States Congress, I took the initiative in creating
three things.
Oh, it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true.
You stupid son of a bitch!
Get in the fast lane, Grandma! The bingo game's about to roll!
Incoming!
Hello?
Well, greetings, fellow humans. Welcome to the show today, June 23rd, 2006. If you have visited before, welcome back. And if you are a new listener, well, just plain old welcome. Today I'm going from sugary sweetie to techie treaty to just chopping off a few deserving heads. That's one of my favorite things to do, you know. And there are lots of them that need a good chopping. I also have a really funny song to share with you all today, considering all of the hullabaloo about downloading music and who gets money for it and how they get money for it and all that MacGuffin stuffin. This song is genuine and pure and funny to the bone. Also, it's free. The real kind of free. It's right after thing one for today, so let's get started so you can hear the song afterwards.
20th Century Fox presents the legendary story of two tragic lovers. Their warring families, and a starship captain boldly going where no one has gone before. William Shatner's Romeo and Juliet. With DeForest Kelly as Dr. Leonard McCoy.
Damn it, Juliet! I'm a Montague, not a Capulet!
James Doohan as Scotty.
Captain, I cannot keep Juliet away from Romeo! Her dilithium crystals are overloaded and someone jammed a sword into the transporter! She's gonna blow!
George, Mr. Sulu Takei as Romeo.
What light through yonder viewing screen breaks? Ah, the sunrise over Rigel 7. Ahead, warp factor 3.
And William Shatner as Captain Juliet T. Kirk.
Oh, Spock! Spock! Wherefore art thou? Spock!
William Shatner's Romeo and Juliet. Now living long and prospering at a theater near you.
Mercutio! One, to beam up.
And thing number one today, really sweet stuff. U.S. lawmakers, that is, pushing for sugar as a fuel source. With the market for corn-based ethanol booming, lawmakers from U.S. sugar-producing states are hoping that beet and cane growers can soon jump onto the renewable fuel bandwagon. They cite the model of Brazil, which produces ethanol made from sugar cane. But critics, pointing out that sugar is much cheaper in Brazil than in the United States, question whether the economics of sugar-based ethanol would work in America. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is expected to issue a long-awaited study around July 1st on the viability of converting sugar into ethanol. Keith Collins, the USDA's chief economist, said that the soaring demand for ethanol and Brazil's successful track record make it worth discussing sugar-based ethanol in the United States. At some point in the future, it may be worthy of commercial development, he said. Technologically, it's possible. The question is it economically feasible? Collins noted that besides cheaper sugar, Brazil also has higher yields per acre because of the better climate and investment in more productive strains of sugarcane. So obviously we can look at the technology of conversion and learn some things from them about that, Collins said, but it's a little hard for us to just look at Brazil and conclude that their structure of production would be our structure of production. We can't conclude that. Sugar in the United States is made from two sources, beets in some northern and western states, and cane in a few southern states, including Hawaii. Minnesota is the largest producer of sugar produced from beets, while Florida leads in sugar from cane, according to the American Sugar Alliance, which is a trade group. There is skepticism among some sugar growers that ethanol is a viable end product for their crop. If I was going to guess, I would say that the economics are not going to be there, said Steve Williams, president of the American Sugar Beet Growers Association, who farms about 700 acres of sugar beets in Fisher, Minnesota. The food value is better for sugar than ethanol, but backers see room for growth in the ethanol area, especially if oil prices remain high. And the only crop in America that is not participating is sugar, said Senator Norm Coleman, a Minnesota Republican and one of Congress's leading champions of sugar-based ethanol. Coleman is backing legislation that would encourage the use of renewable fuels, including the 100 million gallon mandate for sugar-based ethanol. Jack Roney, an economist with the American Sugar Alliance, agreed that the government would need to step in to stimulate a sugar-to-ethanol industry. It would take a combination of consumption mandates to ensure that the demand would be there, and conceivably some production incentives to use sugar ethanol, he said. The way that the Brazilians established their program is through 30 years of government intervention in energy and agriculture markets to ensure that there would be adequate demand and supplies. So I'll be interested to see how this one plays out. I mean, it makes a lot of sense for us to use sugar, right? So this being America, it probably won't happen for a long, long time. More's the pity. Another pity is that that is that for thing number one today.
Well, this song is totally free. It's a gift to you from me. So please don't pay me a royalty, because this song is totally free. It is totally fucking free. Well, this song is totally free. You can download it as an MP3. You can mix and burn your own CD, and that's totally cool by me. It's totally fucking free. Well, this song is on the house, unlike Mickey Mouse, because Mickey is owned by Walt Disney, and he's an M-O-U-S-C, but he's not totally free. Was you ba 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 Dubai? But you ba 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 Dubai? Ba da ba da ba ba da ba 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 da ba da ba ba da boy, ba da ba da ba fucking boy. Well, this song is totally free. And you probably think that I'm crazy, cause I could probably sell it for $1 million if it was so fucking free. So spectacularly free. Well, this song is totally free. It's not owned by a record company, and they'll probably never play it on MTV, but they could because it's free, and that's spelled F-R-E-E. Well, this song is totally free, but my other songs are not. Probably just buy my CD if you like this song a lot. If you like this song a lot. If you like this song a little, or if you like this song. If you like this song. If you like this song a lot.
And thing number two today, a bit of a tech review for ya. One of the best weapons against internet information overload has been really simple syndication. It's a technology that feeds you updates from blogs, podcasts, and news sites as they're available, keeping you from having to troll websites to find what you're interested in. The problem is that RSS feeds, which land in customizable websites such as My Yahoo or in desktop Windows, depending on how you configure things, can pile up much like email. If you subscribe to a lot of blogs, podcasts, or news sites, checking out all those feeds can become quite the time-devouring project. Thankfully, there's now a machete to help you hack through all that underbrush in a free RSS filtering tool named FeedRinse. After a quick and easy sign-up at FeedRinse.com, you can put a variety of conditions on your RSS subscriptions. Say you like a tech site's review of computer peripherals, but you couldn't care less about MP3 players. Well, you could set FeedRinse to send you only items from that site with computer peripherals in the post. Or you could apply a less restrictive filter, such as to send everything except items containing the words MP3 player or iPod. FeedRinse comes from Electric Pulp, a 9-person web development firm in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The company's principals say they invented FeedRinse because they needed it badly for their own RSS use. Isn't it nice of them to share it with all of us? Filtering programs are not an entirely new concept, but previous filtering programs have had a reputation for being less than user-friendly. The FeedRinse site itself is currently undergoing some changes, with Electric Pulp tweaking its interface in hopes of making it more intuitive. From tests, you can see where the site could be a little simpler to use, but for the most part, it was clean, easy to figure out, and worked as advertised. The free version of FeedRinse lets you apply up to 5 filters on RSS feeds and send the rinsed results to popular reader programs. In early June, the free service also let you combine all of your rinsed feeds into one channel that itself could be sent to RSS programs, but now that'll cost you $1 a month. The channel works great, giving one mega feed to check that will be blissfully full of the things you care about and nothing that you don't. For example, I subscribe to a few podcasts, but don't like it when political things show up. No problem now. Whenever I log on to NewsGator to check on the things I like, FeedRinse has delivered what I did want and nothing that I didn't want. Also, occasionally, boingboing.net, the wonderfully subtitled Directory of Wonderful Things, will have links labeled NSFW, which is shorthand for Not Safe for Work, which is racy stuff you don't want to be caught viewing on your office computer. Why be tempted, right? Just put FeedRinse on the case and have it block Boing Boing posts with NSFW. Works like a charm. Although FeedRinse has taken away the channel option from the free service, the $1 monthly subscription that is now required to get it also comes with 50 filters on feeds instead of 5. A $3 monthly plus service comes with 100 filters and 3 channels, and there's also a $5 a month premium package offering 500 filters and 5 channels. I don't know if that would leave anything, 500 filters, that's a lot. For serious RSS junkies, that might be money well worth spending, at least until someone else imitates this great filtering idea and uses it for their own evil reasons. For more info on the net, go to the FeedRinse website at http://www.feedrinse.com.
Honey? Honey, you okay?
This poor man is suffering from painful bowel movements. He needs the letter-turning relief of new Vanna-White. The soothing new liquid with a second banana flavor. So, don't be sentenced to the consonant pain of cramped vowels. Reach for the bottle in the gold lamé gown. Vanna-White. It'll keep you letter-perfect.
New from Sajak Laboratories.
And now it's time for the wild, the wacky, the wonderful, grandiloquent word of the day. This week's word begins with the letter W, said letter being the 23rd in the alphabet. It's a good word, and a super obscure one too. The word for today is Womacky, spelled W-O-M-M-A-C-K-Y. It is an adjective, and I have no idea whence it came, unfortunately. It means, however, shaking and weak while recovering from illness or surgery. I personally always call that floopily, but I digress. Womacky used in a sentence for you. My friend Linda just left the hospital, and she's feeling quite womacky, the poor dear. I didn't say it was going to be a good sentence. Womacky. Womacky. That might be the oddest so far in my GWODs. I hope you liked it. Use it sometime soon. Also, visit the Grandiloquent Dictionary online and learn other wild, wacky, wonderful words. The link is on the homepage, threethings.podomatic.com. Womacky. Womacky. And thing number 3. Boy, what a bunch of nuts, and I'm gonna chop their heads off. First one, a filming deputy fired. A Martin County Sheriff's Review Board found just cause in the firing of a former deputy who was relieved of duty for using his patrol car's dashboard-mounted camera to film bikini-clad girls at the beach. Jack Muncy was fired January 30th after an internal investigation found that his behavior was not criminal, but violated department policies. Muncy had sought reinstatement. Then the panel took just 4 minutes Wednesday to determine that his firing was justified and he couldn't come back. The day-long hearing included testimony about the two previous investigations involving Muncy, including one in 1997 when he used a department computer to view pornography on the internet while on duty. he was suspended for a week. In 2004, he was suspended after he totaled a patrol car while speeding on his way to work. This guy's brilliant, right? Muncie's attorney, Larry Fagan, called the videotaping a brief lapse in judgment that should not warrant termination. This is something that will follow him forever, Fagan told the panel. Well, yeah, and he's a perv, and it should. Muncie declined to comment after the hearing. Sheriff Robert Crowder said Muncie likely will not lose his law enforcement certification that could get him a job elsewhere. He's not a bad guy, but I think his judgment perhaps was flawed, and maybe he's learned from this, he said, and maybe he'll be able to work somewhere where this won't be held over his head. There you go. And next, a man spiderizing a woman. A British man on Wednesday admitted delivering a package containing a venomous tarantula to a work colleague the day he handed in his resignation. At Leicester Magistrates Court in central England, Malin Hector, 22, pleaded guilty to delivering a rare Mexican red-kneed tarantula in a box addressed to a woman colleague at the branch of the store Marks & Spencer in Leicester, where they both worked. At the same time, he handed store bosses his resignation. The intended recipient, Susan Griffin, luckily was not hurt. Hector is to be sentenced later on the charge of sending a letter or other article conveying a threat. He did not reveal his motives in court Wednesday. When staff at the store discovered the spider, they alerted the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, which took it away. It was a daft idea. They are not the most dangerous spider, but it could be fatal if it is given to someone who has an allergic reaction to it, the society spokesman said Wednesday. The woman who received it must have been terrified. Well, yes, it was a big spider. The Mexican red-kneed tarantula, Latin name Brachypelma smithii, is commonly used in movies because of its scary appearance. With a leg span measuring up to 10 inches, which is 25 centimeters, it has a hairy dark brown body and reddish-orange leg joints. Each leg ends with two claws, which are used for climbing trees. This spider is said to bite very rarely and instead flicks hairs at its victims, which is just plain mean. Mean old hairy flicker. It is the only tarantula listed as rare by the Convention on Trade in Endangered Species. And I hope this one finds a nice home. And next, a dog bites its master right in the face. Ouch. A police pursuit ended when the suspect's dog, not happy about being bounced around in the car, bit its owner on the face. Iron County Sheriff's officers approached Nicholas T. Galanis, 47, of Salt Lake City, to talk to him about some stolen property. Galanis got in his car and fled with his dog. The chase went south on a windy, bumpy dirt road about 5 miles northwest of Modena, Utah, at about 5:38 p.m. Monday, said Sheriff's Detective Jody Edwards. Deputies could see the dog in the passenger seat getting slammed into the window, he said. The dog, which is partly pit bull, became so agitated that he bit his owner in the face, Edwards said, and this is what ended the chase. The bite removed part of Galanis's nose, and he stopped. I would stop, too. Galanis was taken to Valley View Medical Center before being booked into Iron County Jail, where he was held for investigation of supplying false information to police, receiving possession of stolen property, and theft. His poor little very excitable doggie was taken to the Enoch Animal Shelter. I hope he also finds a good home. And last, a hacker bones a bunch of workers. A hacker broke into the Agriculture Department's computer system and may have obtained names, social security numbers, and photos of 26,000 Washington area employees and contractors, said the department on Wednesday. Agriculture Secretary Mike Johanns said the department will provide free credit monitoring for 1 year to anyone who might have been affected. Well, that's very nice of him. The break-in happened during the first weekend in June, said the department. Technology staff learned of the breach on June 5th and told Johanns the following day, but believed that information had been protected by security software. However, on further analysis, staff concluded the data on current or former employees might have been accessed and informed Johanns of this on Wednesday. The department said it notified law enforcement agencies. Well, that's kind of closing the barn door after the horse is gone, buddies. Its inspector general is investigating the break-in. The information stolen had been used for staff or contractor badges in Washington and the surrounding areas, spokeswoman Terry Tuber said. Those who might have been affected were notified by email and were being sent letters. For people who believe they may have been affected by the data breach, the Agriculture Department has a toll-free number to call for information about the incident or about consumer identity protections. The number, 1-800-FED-INFO or 1-800-333-4636, is a call center that operates from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday through Saturday. Or you can go to www.firstgov.gov. Other federal departments have acknowledged recently that private information had been compromised. As many as 26.5 million people may have been affected by the theft of a laptop computer containing Veterans Affairs information, including Social Security numbers and birth dates. The computer was taken from the home, I told you, I think last week or the week before, of a VA employee, and officials waited nearly 3 weeks before notifying veterans on May 22nd of that theft. Earlier this month, the Health and Human Services Department discovered that personal information for nearly 17,000 Medicare beneficiaries may have been compromised when an insurance company employee called up the data through a hotel computer and then failed to delete the file. God, Social Security numbers and other information for nearly 1,500 people working for the National Nuclear Security Administration. That's right. National Nuclear Security Administration may have been compromised when a hacker gained entry to an Energy Department computer last fall. Officials said June 12th that they had only recently learned of the breach. And so to it, all you people, Muncie and Hector and Galanis and stupid hacker jerks and the U.S. Agriculture Department, the Energy Department, the Nuclear Security Administration, all of you bozos, get in line for the chopping off of your pates. You deserve it. Yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. And I don't think I need to say any more. So that's thing number three today, complete. That is also the show for today, complete. I was Jenna, as I always am, of course, and it was wonderful having you with me today. I hope you come back real soon, say next Friday, when I will have a few more things to share. Use that GWOD. It's good. It's fun. It'll win you some friends and maybe help you influence some people. Who knows? It might help you become a world leader. Check out the show homepage. Links are down and to the right. Comments can be made in many lovely ways. You should do that, as they are very welcome. I hope you will return. And until you do, please forgive yourself and be happy. Good day.
Oh, crap! What the hell do you think you're doing?
All in all, I say we've been very lucky around here. Nothing to do now but wait for orders from the authorities and relax.
Sometimes I wish God gave me a Holy Ghost machine gun, I'll blow your head off.
Nip it in the bud!
We're getting screwed.
The subject was booked under Section 601, in danger of leading an idle, dissolute, or immoral life.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
I have something to say. It's better to burn out than to fade away.
Cut it out!
Go on, leave! Get out!
Goodbye, you lazy, big-nosed, rubber-faced bastard.
This disc will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Dead, Jim.
We didn't do anything like that.
Scotty, beat me up.